All right, well, before we pray tonight, let's look into the scripture. Our place is, again, Psalm 84. If you would join us there, Psalm 84. We looked principally at one, maybe two verses last week, and saw that there was a couple of Beatitudes here. And we'll look at the second one tonight, verse 5 of Psalm 84. Down through verse 7. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. Now, last week we said that we have two Beatitudes here back to back. Both are of a similar spirit, and in some ways, both deal with a similar goal. And that goal is God's house on Mount Zion. And the first one, verse 4, we're admiring, the psalmist is, those who are already there. And we could say with the book of Revelation, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. And why? Because of what God has done with them today. You shall be with me in paradise, Jesus said to the thief right next to him who repented. Yet they don't seem to be of one, though they're similar spirit, they're two different beatitudes. For as verse 5 says, one is addressed to the individual, blessed is the man. And verse 4 is addressed to a group, blessed are those. And one is on the highway, as verse 5 tells us, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, while the other is already there, verse 4, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. And that lesson, as we said, is encouraging, because think about it, the destination is blessed, the journey is blessed, and that's what we're looking at tonight, the journey there to God's house. You are on that journey right now. And so pick up your drooping heads, saints. You're walking on the King's highway, and we trust that in your heart, God has put something there that is tremendously encouraging. All right. So verse 5, how blessed is the man whose strength is in you. He's looking at an individual here. Blessed is the man. He's selecting someone who's on this journey. He's on the way towards Zion. He's going to the place where God's dwelling places are. The courts of the Lord, as verse 2 has it. And now this is a Levite singing this, granted, and he is one who has been there often, and he one who knows the joys of this. We said Sunday, if you recall, there are those who say that there's nothing worse than a month full of Sundays. You remember? And the thing that we said was that they have no grasp of what the saint experiences in the Lord's house. They don't know the joys of the Lord's presence. They have no sense of sin forgiven, of the joy of Christian fellowship, of the warmth of gathering around the throne, coming to God through Jesus Christ. They have no sense of that. And so to them, Sunday's just a day to be endured, especially in the old days when they had such things as blue laws. And you couldn't go here, you couldn't buy this. Believe it or not, there was once upon a time no NFL and no Sunday football. And in those days, there were those who said, boy, a month of the days like this would be just unbearable. The man in Christ, the woman in Christ, doesn't feel quite that way. And I hope that you don't feel quite that way. I hope that you're able to say with this man here, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold out there, just welcoming people in. I'd rather stand there than dwell with all the comforts in the tents of the wicked. Well, we're looking at not just those that are there, but particularly those that are on their way. And you could say, well, this is enacted every Sunday. And every Wednesday, at least for us, it's enacted that way. We're on the highway to the Lord's house, and we're here, and we thank God for it. But actually, the ultimate realization is what? This whole life is the road to Zion, and this whole life is our journey towards this spiritual destination we're longing for and yearning for, the courts of the Lord. And hear what the scripture says. You are blessed. You are blessed. And so we're looking at this man, how blessed he is. And it says this, whose strength is in you. And he's going to describe what he means by that. The man is the traveler here. He's blessed. God has put a strength there. And we'll go through the different ways that it's expressed. In his heart, the second part of the verse, are the highways to Zion. God has made this a part of the heart. And I know we can get under attack and we can think, I don't want to go. We can get sick and feel like I can't go. Things can get in the way and I wish I could, but I'm hindered from going. I don't know what it is now. Our schools are starting to schedule things on Wednesday nights. Maybe you should look into that, Terrell. They don't need to be doing things on Wednesday nights. There's other nights of the week. But though that we have those missing tonight because things are scheduled for their kids on Wednesday night. There are things that get in the way. Nonetheless, God puts a strength there because he puts it down in the heart. What does it say? In whose heart are the highways to Zion? Now Spurgeon says there's nothing worse than someone who goes to God's house and it's not really in their heart. They don't want to go. They have no attention. They have no attraction. They have no sense of desire nor want. They feel no need. They experience no lack. And they're just there. And he said, you might as well have a caravan of corpses going up towards Zion if that's your individuals. But he says, these are the ones that are blessed. God has put this in their heart. This is where that strength is put. It may not be in your limbs. It may not necessarily be in your mind. It might not be, 100 places that are you. But if it's in your heart, then this is what God has blessed you with. There's a strength there. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. You see, it's not from the individual. We sang this song a moment ago, righteousness is what you want from me. And then if it wasn't for that chorus that follows it, it would be bad theology. But then the singer turns right this around and says, all right, you've got to, what does he say? I'll just read it to you. Reform, conform, stuff like that. Okay. You've got to take my heart and you've got to reform it. You have to take my mind. You have to transform it. You have to take my will and conform it to yours. What's he saying? It's all of God. God does this. He's looking for holiness in us. And we come back to him and say, look for that and find your holiness there. Put it in me. Put your faithfulness in me. Put your righteousness in me. As you look for these things, you will look in vain unless it's put there by the hand of God. All of my good behavior, it amounts to nothing. All of my righteousness is nothing. And I'm not alone in this. It's true of all of us. Our righteousness is as, here's a picture. And what is that? Did someone say filthy rags? Take that off, my mother used to say. Don't walk through here. You're filthy. No one likes to see it. You don't like the stain on your carpet. You don't like it in your house. You just, take it off outside. That's our righteousness right there. Oh, God, give me your strength. A parallel to his righteousness is his strength in us. And so put this in my heart, Lord. I've got to have that direction that points me like the needle swings towards the north, on your compass. That's north right there, by the way. And you got a little compass with a red tip needle and it swings, it might move around until finally it, that's the picture of the saint in whose heart God has put this desire. And he's put that strength. That's where he puts it. And your heart yearns for this. Your heart longs for this. Your heart pants for this. But you're going to have some difficulty. Look at verse 6. Passing through the valley of Baca. Now, if you have a marginal reading, you might notice some things there. It could be read this way. Passing through the valley of weeping. Or maybe they'll say balsam trees. They say balsam trees. It's the same word. They called it a weeping tree because it exudes its resin. It weeps. It's the balsam tree does. And so they say, there's a tree that cries. And it's a picture of those who are walking through difficulties. You can call it the valley of Baca. You can call it the valley of weeping because all of God's saints are there sooner or later, one time or another, maybe multiple times, but they have to go through it. They have to go through it. If you read dear old John Bunyan in his Pilgrim's Progress, you'll find that Pilgrim was there a lot. He was there fighting Apollyon. He was in the Valley of Temptation. He went through Vanity Fair. He went through the Hill of Difficulty. He went through this, that, and the other, and it was hard places. Now, here's the strength of God. It doesn't keep you out of those places. It keeps you in those places. There's all the difference in the world, isn't it? The Spirit of God will lead us like he led Jesus our Lord into the wilderness to be tempted and tried and tested. And so goes the saint. As the Savior went, so goes the saint. And we will find ourselves in these difficult places. But I like some words here that we don't need to miss. Passing through, verse 6. Passing. Now that's comforting thought because it means we will come out. We go through it, yes, but we do come out of it. We go through it. We pass on through. Like the guy that passes you on the highway and he's gone. We go through the valley and after a while it's gone. It's in our rearview mirror. We think, oh, thank God. And then you realize, and the strength of God is still with me because I still want to go. Our Lord told an important thing to John the Baptist, when things weren't going his way, John's way. And the Lord said to him, now you go back and tell John this, blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. And so you've been to the valley, you're in the valley of Baca, and you think, well, why? Why does God leave me here? Why is God doing this? Why has this happened? But when you pass out of it and you come through it, you say, and I still love him. I still yearn for him. We had this 4:30 prayer group reunion this past week, as you know, crowdedly so. And Keith, one of the fellows that was sharing, stood up and said, you know, we've all been through suffering. She said, it's been 50 years since some of us have seen each other. That's a lot of life. You can walk through that valley a bunch of times, can't you? He said, we've lost this, we've lost that, we've experienced this and experienced that. And then he said this, but Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still Lord. We don't know why this happened, but he is still Lord. We have certain promises. We don't necessarily see them being fulfilled the way we think, but he is still Lord. And in the end, he says, there are mysteries that we can't explain. There are things that we can't rationalize out, and we don't have an answer for it, and we may not in this life, but we choose not to stumble over him, don't we? He's still Lord. He is the Lord. I like the way the first disciples spoke of and to Jesus. They said, "It's the Lord," or "Lord." It was, yes, a title of respect and a title of greeting, but it was packed full of things that they would need all the rest of their days, and so do we. He is the Lord. He is our Lord. And so we're passed through the Valley of Baca. Now, as they go through, now did you notice that? All of a sudden we were looking at the man, verse 5, and passing through the Valley of Baca, they, verse 6. What does that mean? It means that others have joined this man on the highway. Others have gathered around this individual, or this individual has himself joined others. Maybe this is the spring that's being described in verse 6. They make it a spring. Spring is where people gather, congregate. If you're in the wilderness or the desert and you find a spring, you go there. Maybe it's the local church, and they've met people of similar interest and a like spirit, and suddenly that lone individual finds himself in a company, and you have they, not just thee or he, you have they. And I think that's tremendously sweet because, well, all I could tell you is, again, my experience over the weekend, seeing these dear faces and friends whom I had not seen for 4 decades, some of them, and they gathered together, and we lifted our voices in unison, and we praised God together, and we blessed him as a they. And it wasn't just a he or a him or a that person, but it was those and them and they. And it was, I tell you, it's sweet. This is one of the joys that we press toward. I like the way the Old Testament puts the death of God's people. They are gathered to their people. I don't want any of you ever to die. And I'm holding on to the fact that we are immortal until our work is done. But should you get called, like we sang a while ago, until he return or he calls me home, if he calls you, then I will, in spirit, once I dry my tears, I will rejoice with you because you are in a far better place. You have been gathered to your people. Your people. And you'll see John. And you'll see Paul. And you'll see Elijah. And you'll see Moses. But you'll see Jesus. And you'll say, "Oh, Lord, my friends down there, they need help. Please let them come on. And we'll say, "We're getting there as fast as we can. We're passing through. We're making it a spring. God's helped us there in the early rain. He's giving us his blessings." But look at here. They go from strength to strength. God's strength multiplies in our weaknesses. He multiplies this in our adversities. The more they are afflicted, the more they multiplied, is the odd dynamic that exists in God's people. You take the Egyptians and you let them beat up on God's people, and God's people will multiply like rabbits. I don't see how it's possible. There is no biological explanation. It's spiritual. And when you have been through difficulty and war and trial and heartache and you come out stronger, you just say, "Well, praise be to God. He did this. God did this. He made me stronger." Now, if you want to know the real blessing of the man whose strength is in Jesus, it's this: every one of them appears before God in Zion. If you are in Christ, you are eternally safe. You have a destiny. You have a calling on you, and you will stand before him. You will appear. I was told the story about this man, this fellow, Keith, I mentioned to you. His mother, his aged mother, was suffering from dementia. And I think that she was going through difficulties and cognitive problems and wasn't making a whole lot of sense, and things were hard, and she wakes up one morning and says, "I've got somewhere I need to be." And that's the day that she went to be with Jesus. "I've got to go somewhere. And her husband was helping her to the bathroom and she just collapsed. She had a calling. Come up here. Come up here. And she appeared before God in Zion. And so shall we. Let's pray.